Hi, I'm Claire Davis from Mental Health Chats, and we're here to encourage people to open up conversations about mental health. Hello everyone, I'm back with Mental Health Chats, Claire Davis, and I'm continuing this series with regards to story of suicide. So our final guest before Benny comes back next week is Shiggy Pachter. Hello, Shiggy. How are you going?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us. And I have seen Shiggy talk before, and I thought that's the woman that I want on this series. So Shiggy, would you like to tell everybody where you're from?
Sure. I'll give you the simple version. I am Dutch Kenyan, originally born and bred in Kenya. And I moved to England when I was 15 years old. Yeah. And I have a slight American accent because I lived in America for 10 months when I was 4 years old. And for some reason it stuck. So.
Wow. And you probably listened to a lot of American television as well, did you?
A little bit of both. I think between my parents, because they're such polar opposites, I kind of got a broader spectrum. Yeah. Because the age difference between my mom and my dad was so huge. There was a 31-year age gap between them. So I had a very broad kind of education of language and music from a very young age.
Brilliant. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So can you tell us the key elements of your journey, please, Shiggy?
Sure. So my mother shot herself in the head. That's something that I very proactively say now. I used to shy away from it because there's a very different kind of energy behind my mother passed away versus my mother committed suicide versus my mother shot herself. All right. There's just very, very different kind of tiers of energy. And I just go through the top one because people will either kind of take that or not take that. So that's the biggest takeaway I got from what I now term the maternal crusade, because I had to go to America from England, where I am now in London, go to America, deal with her affairs, try and tidy it all up under a perfect little bow, which was a very haggard looking bow, and then do the other journey back to Kenya and deal with tribal issues that exist around suicide, not even death, around suicide, divorce, and what's the other one? So with tribes, my tribe in Kenya, which is Luhya, I think. But there's so many tribes there. I'm like Luhya and Taita. And Taita is like the tiniest tribe ever. So my name isn't common because of that. But the tribal elders don't believe in suicide, divorce, or cremation.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got all three of those, right? And I had the resilience and the foresight. I don't know how. Like, there's no field manual to any of this. And I told my uncle, I'm like, when I come over, I am not dealing with any of that, right? My understanding of, you know, tribal basis of things is me being female is an issue already because we're still kind of second class citizens in comparison to men. That's why you have village tribal elders, leaders who are all men. There's no women really. So I had the foresight to tell him, you do it. I'm not doing it. I am not ready to, I'm not in no mental state to fight, you know? But the main kind of things from her suicide was just learning that you're not better off as an island. You know, that's ultimately what kind of ended her situation, was just the forced isolation that she did to herself, to the point where she needed help. She potentially was too proud to ask for it because that's a family trait. We have, and I looked at that and I'm like, I do not want to go down this way. And I have attempted suicide 3 times.
Was that since your mother or before?
No, mother. This was before my mother, or before I knew that my mother she'd previously attempted suicide as well. But she had the kind of foresight of, she didn't want to shoot herself in the head because of the aftermath. All right, she didn't want someone to come into a horror show. This is what my uncle told me, my other uncle in America. She tried it before, but, you know, she called me and I rushed over and, you know, we talked it through. I'm like, I see. So this is not just me. So yeah, you know, she had people that cared, that she cared about beforehand. And I think that's really important, is just to build up your little nucleus of people, no matter how awkward you are. I'm a very awkward human being. I don't like people, but I like being around them. You know, and I realized I need to get over myself and at least just kind of be a little bit more brutally honest with just a few core people, so they can check in on me. And I have one lady, I call her Mummy Bear, because that's what she is. She's incredibly fierce. But we both have our own problems. You know, we both have our very dark dog days, and we message each other and we tell each other. So the main element, I think, from all of that is just realizing you shouldn't be an island. You know, get two or three people, you know, not one, two or three people to kind of be that nice support bubble. Mm-hmm. And emotionally, let all the emotions run through whatever they are, you know, whatever they look like. Mine involved buying boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't think I've ever said that to anyone, but I bought boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts whilst I was out there because I was very stressed. And when your brain's very stressed, it uses a lot of glycogen, so it needs more carbs. So it's either alcohol or donuts. And I thought donuts would be, you know, less destructive for maybe a bit destructive for my waistline, but I was only out there for a month and there's only so much damage that you can do in a month. You know, alcohol, you drink what, 3 bottles of wine a night and you can get ruined in 5 days. So
yeah. And that does go with your fitness job as well. So it's all about, you know, the whole person here. So you're a personal trainer. Do you want to explain what your job is?
Yeah. So I have a multitude of jobs, again, just because it's just my standard. My brain kind of likes being stimulated. So one of my jobs that I keep on the hush, but I do, is I'm an executive fitness consultant, which is a very, very fancy way of I choose people I want to work with as a personal trainer. But they get me in their pocket. Basically, when they travel around, like the clients that I have, they travel around the world. They can message me more or less whenever. If they have queries in the place they're in, I will find solutions for them. So if it means calling up the hotel and asking for a specific menu for my client, or finding delivery options that are very healthy and kind of doing that kind of stuff, that's what I do. But I only ever have a handful of clients at a time because it's very taxing when people are across all the time zones. But my main job is actually as a sound engineer. So I edit audiobooks for indie authors and podcasts as well.
Great. Excellent. So would you like to explain any more about the journey before we go into helping others in a similar situation?
So- sure. With the journey, you know, I weirdly used Instagram stories as my little conditioning helping bubble for me just to blow steam off, you know, because I did it on my own. I actively, my partner at the time, you know, kind of wanted to come with me, but he was a hot mess as well. And I'm like, I can't be a mother to you and myself at the same time. So no. My uncle wanted to come over. I'm like, you're a hot mess. Your sister's died. Like, you will be doing the alcohol thing and I cannot mother you either. So, you know, choosing to go on your own, I've discovered it's a trait that you either have or you don't have. Like, it's kind of tenacious, peak of the spear kind of existence, depending on how your family structure is. So if you've had a lot of people who've always looked after you and you've always felt safe, I've discovered through talking to friends, a lot of them wouldn't be able to do what I did, right? They would just be a mess, you know? And I'm like, that's fine. That is totally fine to be a mess. Like, I love it. I would prefer to have the emotional net that you have to be able to actually go through my feelings. I don't feel my feelings that much because I can't. Because if I'm crying on the floor, yeah, nothing's getting done and stuff needs to get done. Yeah. So with it, you know, the feelings come through and they come through in high speed. If you're one of these people that just keeps on going, if you've been in boarding school, me. If your family broke up at a young age, me. If you've had to be on your own, if you're just an independent kind of person anyway, and you have to do these type of things, just let stuff happen.
Yeah.
There's no field manual, but you will figure stuff out. You'll just sit there in the morning eating a cupcake in the hotel, American hotel cafeteria. And then you'd be like, oh, I need to figure out what crematorium near me, you know, to do, I need to go pick up the body. Oh, I need to go do this. I need to call this person. It just comes up, you know, and if it doesn't, you'll just sit on Google for like 5 minutes and then you have your day's itinerary. So it's very natural.
So you've said quite a lot in all of this, really, which is fantastic. And so let's sum up the advice you would give others. First is to have the right people around you and tap into. The other one is let go of your emotions.
Yeah.
And grieve and, you know, eat carbs if you want to eat carbs, you know, do that sort of thing. But I also love the advice you've given about other people are grieving and sometimes it's not wise to have the people who are really close to it, really close to you as well, because you're both battling the grief.
Yep.
That's absolutely brilliant. What other advice would you give somebody in a similar situation?
I think one of the best things is definitely just to talk or write or whatever, just express. So, you know, feeling the emotions is one thing, which does help. It's more like kind of just a little lid off a pressure cooker, though. What you really want to do is take that lid off and just let everything just kind of, you know, just seep out and do its thing. So I took with me, I'm not going to open it, but it's right here because I have a tome. So it's a big old diary. I'll open it a little bit. So massive thing, right? Just reams and reams of just space for you to write. I've written, but you can't read those because they're private. But so you know, I took that with me. I didn't think I would need it because, again, you know, you're busy doing all these kind of things. But sometimes I'll just scribble like pictures in there, or just listen to music and just let my pen just kind of flow and do whatever it wants to do. Or if I just feel like I need to really write something like of hatred, that happens, you know, when you lose your parent, like you can potentially hate them, which is okay.
Yeah.
It's perfectly okay. Write it down. You know, if you don't want to keep it with you to read later on because you might cringe at it, just write it down and then throw it in the bin or burn it. Yeah. Actually, doing the whole thing of just writing everything from your journey, keeping it with you. And then when you're done, then you feel like there's a time to let go, just burn it and just, you know, let it go.
Yeah, so that's absolutely brilliant. And now, how long ago did your mother shoot herself?
So she shot herself in... on May 6, 2019.
Okay, so it's not that long ago, really.
No, just under 2 years ago still.
So since the whole upheaval of the initial shock, what have you done to heal yourself? Because I'm really impressed. You've said express yourself, and you express yourself in another way, which I love as well.
I do, yeah. So I when I came back, I got rid of my partner. That was the first thing I did, which really hurt because he has a son. And I think I was more in a relationship for giving the son stability than the father stability, because he's a very unstable human. So I had to get rid of them. It hurt a lot. But like, you know, you have to look after yourself first because you can't pour from an empty cup, right? So there was that. And then I actually started a podcast from it. And I started that in September because I got back, it took a month, I got back about June or so, and then had to kind of deal with getting my partner out of my flat because we all lived together, three of us in a one bedroom flat in London. Just a nightmare. So I had to just wait and very gently kind of let that whole thing play out and make sure he found a place rather than just turfing him out on the street. I started the podcast because I really understand the value of talk therapy. I've been seeing counselors and psychotherapists since I was 19 years old, just dealing with family ordeals and the issues. Yeah, African families have huge amounts of issues that no one ever talks about. And I'm done with the kind of cloakedness of it. So that's why I started my podcast. It's called Getting Shiggy With, which is a play on Will Smith's Getting Jiggy With. Because in my childhood, that's when it came out in the 90s, and everyone at school thought they were funny, going, hey, getting shiggy with it, na 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 na. I'm like, oh.
I like that. Yeah. So it's called Getting Shiggy With.
Getting Shiggy With, yeah.
Shiggy With.
Yeah.
Oh, I've written down Shiggy With. So that's funny. Getting Shiggy With, I love
That might be the after dark series, you know, where we just talk about just absolute depravity. But getting shiggy with is the me show.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. That's my hearing. I'm turning into my mother.
It's fine. I'm partially deaf in one ear as well, so I completely understand. But it's a talk therapy, basically, because I have an amazing therapist. Love him to pieces. His prices are fair for what he does because he's very, very good at what he does. But at the time, I just couldn't afford it, you know. But he gave me techniques and tools to be able to do it myself. You know, so if I have problems and situations, I become my own interviewer who asks questions. The main question is always, is it true? You know, and if you go, like, no, then it's a no. Right. If you can't say, yes, it's true. Of course it's true. Why wouldn't it not be true? Why wouldn't it be true? You know, so you just kind of start investigating your own statements. So getting Shigawood started initially with the second but first episode, suicide happened on a Monday because it did, with my mother's suicide. And it's a very raw, just kind of just heart-driven discussion about my entire journey. So I just went through all of it because I wanted a fresh journal, I suppose, a fresh kind of just representation of what happened whilst it's still in my heart, in my head, in my body. Because like talking about it now, I kind of skip over a lot of stuff because obviously with all the emotional bits in there, they've all been suppressed, right, into very dark humor style jokes, because that's my coping mechanism. Dark humor is my coping mechanism. Yeah. So yeah, and then from that it just kind of carried on, and I'm on episode 30 now after a lockdown break, just still talking about things.
Well done you. And what I love of what you've said there is the fact that going to a therapist is really, really important and absolutely brilliant that you've gone to a therapist. And a talking therapist is one that we haven't mentioned on the show. We can't all afford therapists. So it's taking control yourself and working out what can you do yourself. And then I do also like the fact that you've mentioned that another coping mechanism is looking at the humor side of things. So boxing up those emotions and looking at the humor side of things. So thank you very much. You've been so enlightening all of this. And this series has been a very, very interesting series, because so often with regards to suicide, we think there's just one aspect of suicide. And it is a case of, the people who are involved, the people who have to deal with the aftermath, it's absolutely huge. Mm-hmm. But also the side of it, of those suicide survivors who have attempted suicide and still here, all the people around them have to deal with that as well. So thank you for your honesty. You've been an absolute delight.
You're very welcome.
And good luck with your podcast. I'm going to put Getting Shiggy With.
Yes, please.
On there, the actual link. And next time we've got Benny to sum up all of the series. So thank you and take care, Shiggy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed the chat. If you found any of the tips useful, follow Mental Health Chats. Thank you.